Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Matthew chapter 13. Last week we were, it was called Rebel, right? We are entering a new part of the book of Matthew. So in chapter 13, there are seven parables that are included in chapter 13. So we're going to look at each of those. Today we're just taking one because it's one of the larger parables. And then some weeks we'll take three of them. And so it'll probably be 3 weeks we're going to cover the different parables that Jesus taught. So, and there's a couple other places where he'll tell more parables, but chapter 13 is comprised primarily of these different parables. So I want us to begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to dive in, all right? Father, we just thank you for this day, dear God. I pray that as we dig into your word, Father, you make it come alive to us. May it be your living word to us, dear God, that we can understand and apply it to our life and help us to live a life that glorifies you. We give you the thanks and the praise, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Everybody said? Amen. All right. So Jesus taught in parables. Why did he teach in parables? Let's look at the verses 1 through 3 of chapter 13. And it says, that same day Jesus went out. So chapter 12, we see that he was meeting a lot of resistance with the religious leaders. So chapter 13, it says, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. And he caught some catfish. Is that what it says? He was in a boat. He sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got in a boat and he sat in it while the people stood on shore and he taught from the boat. I think that would be a good way. I could handle that, just sitting in a boat, right? So that's what Jesus did. And it says in verse 3, and he told them many things in parables. Parables. What are parables? What's a parable? To understand that more, let's look at verse 10. So you're going to jump down a little bit. Verse 10. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, so that's what we've titled the series, Secrets of the Kingdom, has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has been given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever who does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. Now, if you're like me, it's kind of like, Jesus, wouldn't you want them to understand what you're saying? Right? Yeah. Okay, verse 14. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, Old Testament. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be seeing, but will never be perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. How many got calluses on your hands, right? Calluses are from hard work, right? Okay, but they also dull your sense to feel, right? All right, sometimes it can cause you issues. They have calloused hearts. They hardly hear with their ears, okay? The older you get that, more that happens, right? And they have closed their eyes. They can't see. Now, this is all to be taken figuratively, right? They probably could still see, they could probably still hear, and they probably still had a heart. But it's spiritually speaking, their heart was closed to God. They weren't hearing what God was saying to them. They weren't seeing what God wanted to do, and their hearts were hard towards God. Otherwise, it says, they may see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your heart, ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Now, think about it. Jesus, the Son of God, was right there in their midst, right? What a privilege to have the God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God's Son, to be with them in flesh, to be amongst these people, right? What an opportunity. A rare opportunity in history, right? And Jesus says to them, a lot of people have longed for this day when God would come, the Messiah would come and be amongst the people, and you are getting to experience it, right? You're getting to see this firsthand. And the reason why Jesus taught in parables, parable actually means to cast alongside. So a para, so we have paras in the school. We see that word come up a lot in the New Testament, para. So a para in the school works alongside a teacher, right? A parable is a story that comes along to help illustrate. Okay, that's what it's supposed to do, is to help illustrate a story. It's a story that comes alongside to help illustrate. That word para means to come alongside. But verse 11 says that what he was teaching were, he was revealing secrets of the kingdom. So to those who had an open heart, who were receptive to God, who were seeking God, the parable helped them to understand it better. But to those who had a hard heart, who were trying to trick Jesus, like the religious leaders were doing, and they had no intentions of following God, the parable actually brought confusion and darkness. So it worked kind of both ways. To those that were hungry for God, it helped them understand. But to those who were close to God, it didn't make any sense. And one of the things we need to understand is that understanding Scripture is not just an intellectual thing. Did you know that? It is also a spiritual thing, and you need the Holy Spirit to understand Scripture. Okay, it's called illumination, that as you're reading the Scripture, it becomes alive to you. That is the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? It's not just words on a page. It is God's Holy Spirit making it come to life to you. Now, how many have been reading a passage and you've read it, you've probably read it many times, and all of a sudden you read it again, and it's like, whoosh, lights come on, right? And it's kind of like, man, I never saw that before. How many have had that experience? All right, so you've read that before. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit takes that passage and provides some meaning and application to it and understand. It's kind of like, wow, that's been there all the time, and I didn't see that. That is the Holy Spirit making it come to life to you. So you can read the Scripture, and you would think, man, if anybody reads this, they're going to get saved. They're going to come to know God. That isn't the case. People, secular, unchristian people, they read it all the time. They study it in literature, and they have no relationship with God. The Holy Spirit is crucial in us understand it. So when Jesus taught in parables, it helped them understand it for those that had open heart, but those who had a closed heart, it actually brought darkness and misunderstanding. All right. So in this passage, in this chapter, there's seven parables. The first one we're going to look like, they all say the kingdom of heaven is like, except for this one. This is the only one that does not include it, and it's called the parable of the sower. So I want us to look at this first parable this morning and pull some principles out. And so that begins with the latter part of verse 3. It says, a farmer went out to sow some seed. Now, he wasn't planting seed like with an air seeder, okay, that the farmers do today, right? Precision, right? They set it at the right depth, it's in rows. No. How did they sow seed in those days? They scattered it. So maybe if you are doing grass seed, and you're, you know, filling in a patch in your bare spot in your yard, you probably broadcast it, right? But that's the way they sowed seed in those days. So they'd throw it, some landed on different places, all right? So they're scattering it, right? A farmer went out to sow seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. Path. So this is a bowling lane right here. So this is, we're going to call this the path, right? Right there. It's hard, right? Doesn't even squeak, right? It's hard. Some fell on the path, and the birds came and what? They got free lunch, right? Fast food. Verse 5, some fell on rocky places, right? Along the chairs here, there was debris and things like that. Fell along the rocky places. And when it did not have much soil, where it did not have much soil, it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, beat down upon it, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, rich, black soil. How many have been up to North Dakota? Anybody? That's black dirt up there. You can have black dirt down here, but it's not black dirt. There they have black dirt. I mean, it's just black. It's black like that. I mean, it's just black, right? It's just black. Very rich, very fertile soil. So, some fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. So, 100-fold would be, you put one seed in the ground and you get 100 back. That's a pretty good crop, isn't it? Very good. 100-fold. He who has ears, let him hear. So to get the understanding to this parable, so that's when the disciples, when he's done teaching, they kind of pull him aside and say, Jesus, so we didn't understand that parable. Can you help us out with this? Right? So let's jump down to verse 18. Jesus says, so listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Okay? This is the seed sown along the pathway. So Jesus is saying, some of the seeds are going to fall on hard soil where people have walked. It's not going to penetrate the ground. It just stays right on the surface. Kind of like water off a duck's back. Okay? It doesn't get absorbed in there, does it? That is like the seed that falls on the path. Verse 20, the one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places, and the man who hears the word of God and receives it with joy once he has it, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. And that's one thing that I think as the body of Christ, we can help people out in that, because if you receive Christ into your life, sometimes we give the impression that you accept Jesus and everything's going to be all better. How many of that happened for you? All right, sometimes you're going to have, if it's not right away, it's going to be down the road, you're going to have difficulties and trials. You're going to be tempted to say, okay, maybe that wasn't real, okay? Or, man, I thought it was going to make everything all better. You can bump that up, Victor. You can turn up the heat a little bit. Yeah, so I think it's a little cool. But it doesn't always get better, right? Sometimes we have to go through some trials, because when you go through the wilderness, you discover what? What do you discover in the wilderness? We talked about it earlier. You discover God's faithfulness, right? When things are going well and you don't need God, you don't discover what faith is. You don't discover what it is to trust God. But when you go through the wilderness, through the difficulties and trials, that's where you kind of, you have to lean on God. You can't do it on your own, right? And you realize, you know what, God will carry me through these times, these difficulties, these trials. God will be with me. So they have no root, and they die. Verse 22, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word of God, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it out, making it unfruitful. You know, one of the sad stories in the life of Paul, he did all this church planning, went on these missionary journeys, but Demas was a co-worker with him, and in one of his letters, he'll say, Demas has left me for the pleasures of this world. So Demas had worked alongside Paul, ministered with him, but the attractions of the world, the lure, pulled him away, and he left his faith in God. He left his faith in God. And that can happen within our lives as well, that we can be deceived by the deceitfulness of wealth, of pleasure, of those things, and we can lose out on our faith in God. Verse 23. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word of God and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, sometimes 30 times what it was sown. We kind of expounded this a little bit, but let's put some principles, and those are in your program there. But first of all, we need to know who's the sower. Who's the sower? Who's the sower? The farmer. Who is that? Us? Yeah, it was talking about Jesus, right? He was the one casting the seed, right? He was preaching from the boat, and some of that seed was falling on the paths, right? They were just there to criticize Jesus. Some were receiving it with joy, but they wouldn't last, but some of it was going to fall on fruitful soil, right? So it was immediately talking about Jesus, but it is a picture that we are the sowers, right? We are called to do that. So it was a picture of him, but also of us. The seed, what is the seed? It's the word of God, right? It's the word of God. So that seed is cast out. It is the word of God, the kingdom of God being placed in the hearts of people. And the soil, what is the soil? It is the people, right? The hearts of people. Putting the God's presence, we plant the seed into the hearts of people, right? So there's some three principles that we want to take away here that I want to at least highlight. The first one is we broadcast the seed. We broadcast the seed, or you can put in there even the good news, because that's what the seed is the good news of the kingdom. And sometimes we talk about the good news. What is the good news? The good news is that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the good news, right? In a nutshell, right? We broadcast the seed. Jesus taught from the boat that day, and he was sharing the good news. He was talking about the kingdom of God to those that were gathering around. He was scattering those seeds of good news of how they could be right with God, how they could know God, how they could have their sins forgiven, how they could have the hope of heaven. He was sharing all that. Some of it was falling on good soil. Some of it was falling on hard soil. And in the closing paragraphs, but he was broadcasting the seed, right? In the closing paragraphs of Matthew chapter 8, chapter 28, Jesus says to his disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So now who's the sower? Jesus was the sower then, but now who's the sower? You and I, right? We are the ones that are to be broadcasting the seed, the good news, sharing with people the hope that they can have in Christ. You know, seed, this time of year, most of it's already in the ground. Any seed that is not in the ground is probably in a storage facility at a co-op or something like that, right? Probably for next year, right? Is seed any good in the bag? Does it do any good there? No, it won't do anything, right? It's only good as if it is put into an environment where it can grow and flourish, all right? It's only good if it's taken out of that. Now, you can have the hope of heaven in you, and thank God that he saved you, amen? How many are glad that Jesus saved you? All right, that's a great hope. But if you keep that seed, that news to yourself, does it do anybody else any good? No. You're keeping it to yourself. It's only if you share that with other people that they can come to know Christ. Well, what if they're like the path and their heart is hard? Yeah. You know, not everybody you share Christ with is going to receive it. Some hearts are going to be hard. Some are going to, those seeds that you plant are going to be amongst thorns. Some of it's going to be in rocky places. But you know what? Some of those seeds are going to fall upon good soil. And guess what? I don't know who those are, and you don't know who those are. You never know the soil condition of people's hearts. God has called us to sow the seeds. Amen? In the lives of people. Our job is to do that. So, I need some helpers here this morning. Come on, Lizzie. All right. All right. You need, even I need both hands, I think. Yeah. Because you're going to catch this side, okay?
What?
All right. Yep. Give everybody a seed. All right. Okay. Otto, come on, Otto. Come on. All right. Both hands, man. Give everybody a seed, okay? All right. Give everybody a seed. Everybody needs a seed. All right. Because I want you to... They're pea seeds. They're sweet peas, I think. All right. How many likes sweet peas? All right. Okay. All right. I got more seeds here if you need them. All right. We're going to give you... I want this just to be a reminder of what God has called you to do, that you have the hope within you. Somebody planted a seed in your life, and it grew, it prospered, it matured. And now God is wanting you to take that same seed and plant it into the lives, that hope, and plant it into the lives of other people. So when everybody has a seed, I want you to hold it up. Okay? We're close? All right. Okay? All right. Close to everybody. All right. Everybody got one? Back? Okay. All right. Everybody got them? Okay. All right, Autobot has everybody there. Here, I need one myself. I better get one here. All right. I've had these for a while. All right. So a seed doesn't look like much, does it? Look at your seed. Mine kind of looks almost like a dice. It's kind of square. It has dimples in it. All right. Doesn't look like much. Does it have a pulse? Anybody have a pulse? Does it have a pulse? Okay, doesn't it kind of look kind of dry and dead? You think so? Yeah, kind of looks kind of dry and dead, doesn't it? You know, and sometimes we think about the seed that we have to plant and think, God, you ever felt like the words that you have to say aren't worth much? Right? They're not worth much. God, they don't look like they have much life or much energy, much hope. But the second point is that there's life in the seed. There's life in the seed. So even though these seeds are probably 6 years old, I bet that if you take them home and put them in some potting soil with some water, that next week you're going to see something sprout up. So to illustrate this, Chris, are we ready with that video? We're good? All right. I just want, we're going to see a seed germinate in 2 minutes, okay? It normally takes 2 to 3 weeks, but we're going to see it happen in 2 minutes. We're not going to play all of it, Chris, but we don't need the music. We just want to see the visual. All right, here it goes. It's a bean seed. See it going? Isn't that cool? Day two already, it's starting. You're not even seeing anything below the surface, but above the surface, but below the surface, day three, it's shooting down there, isn't it? Look at it growing. Day four. Day five. Starting to show some signs. Day six. Day seven. There it goes. Day eight already. And he's praising God, isn't he? Look at that. He's raising his hands and praising God. So we're at day 12, 13, 2 weeks. Look at all the growth that happens in just 2 weeks. Isn't that incredible? All right, we can cut it there, Chris. Isn't that incredible? The life that's in the seed? What just seems to be an ornate or organic piece of material, all of a sudden you place it in the ground in the right conditions and all of a sudden you have life. I just think that's incredible. And that's what God even calls within us, that we are to plant those seeds in the hearts and lives of people. In the 1960s, they found some date seeds by the Dead Sea. So Dead Sea is at the southern part of Israel. It's kind of after Sodom and Gomorrah, that was destroyed. It's a Dead Sea. Water goes into the Dead Sea, doesn't come out. I think you can actually go in there and you float because of all the mineral, high mineral content in there. But there's a fortress that was there. It's called Masada. It's where the Jews kind of held up, and during an invasion, a lot of them were killed. And so if you could take a tour of Israel, a lot of times they'll take you to that Masada fortress. There's some movies based upon that. But when they were there, they found these four date seeds. I think it was four of them or whatever in the 1960s. And they thought, you know what? I wonder what would happen if we planted one of those seeds 2,000 years later. What will happen? So they placed them in the ground and they planted them. And guess what? Not all of them, but one of them came to life. That's the picture of the plant right there. That exact plant is one of those seeds. 2,000 years the seed was old, and there was still life in the seed. Isn't that incredible, folks? Just the miracle of God there, but I share that because sometimes you're going to plant a seed into somebody's heart, into somebody's life, and you expect that thing to be shooting up out of the ground in a week or two. Or that day, right? Am I right? You know what? Sometimes those seeds that are planted on the ground might not germinate for a year, 2, 10 years, 13 years. But those seeds are planted. Sometimes children, You raise up children, you plant those seeds in their heart when they're young, and all of a sudden they go their own way, and all of a sudden when they get into adult life, all of a sudden those seeds begin to germinate. I've seen that happen many times. I share that because I think sometimes we don't understand that there is life in the seed, and sometimes we underestimate the power and the life that is in there. And sometimes we get on our own schedule and not God's schedule, and we have to just understand that we plant the seed. That is our job, to plant the seed. We can't make it germinate. It's God's job to provide the right conditions for that to happen. Just like the farmer, right? He puts the seed in the ground and he has to trust God that he puts it in there when the temperature is about right, okay, in the spring. But he still is relying upon the right conditions, right, for the sun. He's still relying upon the rain to come. There's some of that that is all in God's hands. We have to sow. You got that? Have I got that point across that you have to sow? All right. That's your job. Number three, the soil determines the outcome. So as Jesus was broadcasting the seed, he knew right up front that some of it was going to fall on the pathway, and it was going to be snatched away before he even had a chance to embed into the heart of that person. It was just being snatched away. But you know what? We could put all those religious leaders all in one category and say they're all bad, but there was a Nicodemus that was part of that group as well, and his heart was open. And I believe that he will be in the kingdom of God because his heart was open. So sometimes we can get caught up in labels and say, oh, he's one of them. But his heart was open, and so he received God, right? We never know people's heart. And some of the people that I thought were logical people to receive the word of God, I planted the seed, and it just didn't go anywhere. Some of them went someplace, and then it died. And then some of the people I thought, you know, no way. You plant the seed, and all of a sudden, it takes off, and they pursue God. I can't predict that. God can. God knows all things. I don't. My job is to plant the seed. That's your job as well. We sow, we leave the results with God. And when we do, some of it's going to produce 30, 60, and 100-fold if it falls on good soil. In 30 years of ministry I have in here, I've never been able to predict the outcome of a seed that was sown. I haven't. Sometimes I have an inkling, but I've never been able to predict. And the same is true with you. That you do not know the condition of people's hearts and soul, their soul. Your job is to sow the seeds into the lives of people. Amen? The parable of the sower reminds us that our privilege is to share the good news of Jesus with all people. And the seeds that are sown into the lives of people will germinate over time. As a church, we've been sowing seeds of the kingdom of God here for 14 years, right? Sometimes, it's been years. It's kind of like, oh yeah, I went to something way back when. You know, and we do an outreach or we get out and do rock in the park, we do the pool party. We want to see results right now. We want to see results that Sunday. Sometimes it's 2, 3, 5, 6, 7 years later. But you're planting the seed, right? Planting the seed. Back in 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, I was in the Black Hills on a trip with my dad. He drew an elk tag it was a December hunt for elk tag out in the Black Hills. And so I went out there with him, and I was just moral support, and if he got one, I'd help drag it out, you know, that type of deal. He was with a group of a few other guys. But as we were going through there, we were staying with a guy that has a place out in the Black Hills. We stayed at his little cabin. It's called a cabin, but it sleeps 14 people, so pretty nice cabin. But we stayed out there, and if you go west of Custer, South Dakota, it's just rugged territory there. It's the Black Hills, but a lot of the hillside there are barren, okay? And the reason is because back in 2000, October 2nd, 2000, a lady was responsible for starting a fire. It's the biggest fire that they've ever had in the Black Hills. Over 83,000 acres were destroyed. About 90% of the land around the Jewel Cave National Monument, if you've been there, was burnt. And due to the hot, dry conditions, the fire just took off, spread quickly, and caused a lot of damage. So I was out there, so 2000, I was out there, you know, 13, 15 years later, 17 years later. And they thought for many years that those hillsides were just going to remain barren. And when even when we're out there, you see these burnt, charred sticks still sticking up. 17 years later, you still see these trees sticking up. All right? But they thought for so long that those hillsides were going to remain burned and desolate. That's what the fire did. That's just a part of it. But when I was out there 2 years ago, what you would see is you would see little pine trees that were this high and this high. And what happened? What happened was after about 13 years, they got a summer with unusual rainfall. And what they found out is that there were pine cone trees, seeds, that were in the ground that survived the fire. Think of this. They survived the fire, and they've been laying dormant for about 13, 15 years. And all of a sudden, the right conditions happened. They got the moisture, and all of a sudden, all these pine trees started dotting the hillside. And it was just a vivid reminder to me that sometimes we plant the seeds, and we think, God, it's still barren. There's no life. And all of a sudden, God, at the right timing, provides the right conditions, and those seeds begin to germinate in the lives of people. How many have planted some seeds? You planted some seeds? Still waiting? Yeah. You know, God is faithful. We plant the seed. We're the sowers. And we leave the results with God. And that's what Jesus was trying to teach his disciples that day, is that the word of God is broadcast. It goes forth. Not everybody you share with is going to accept Christ. You just need to get that right up front. In the Muslim world, some of the missionaries have been told it might be as high as 1 out of 50 or 1 out of 100 will accept Christ. Wow. I don't think it's that high in America, but it may be 1 out of 10. But you plant the seeds and trust God to do the rest. Amen? I'm going to have the musicians come. You can take the seed home with you. Whatever you do with it, it's up to you. Whatever you do with it. But maybe you want to put it someplace where you see it, just as a reminder when you walk out the door tomorrow morning. You see that seed, so you can put it on the refrigerator. Tape it to the refrigerator, right? Everybody goes to the refrigerator at least once a day. Or put it by the door that you walk out to go to work or to school. Put it there. You can even have it dangling or something. I don't know. But let it be a reminder that God has called you to be a sower today, tomorrow, throughout this week. That He's placed the good news of Jesus Christ in your heart, and He wants you to share it with the world around you. Amen? Amen. Would you stand this morning? Stand. Praise God. I never want to assume that everybody here has a relationship with Christ and that we've talked about the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. None of us is worthy or able to live a righteous life before God. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of His grace and His mercy. But God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the good news. And if you need to do that this morning, to accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I believe that if you pray that along with us today, that God will honor that, and it begins the journey of making Christ the Lord of your life. It's just that first step. We want to help you in that journey. But if that's you this morning, I want you to pray with us. We're going to all pray together, but if that's specifically speaking to you this morning, I encourage you to pray with us. Experience what it means to know that your sins are forgiven. Experience what it means to know that you have a hope of heaven, that if you're going to leave this earth, you have a hope. My middle son was working a rugby game yesterday in Springfield, Missouri. Kind of a pickup game, an intramural type of thing within the community of Springfield. All of a sudden they came and got his attention. A 47-year-old man was playing rugby, and he'd been out there, and he's kind of holding his chest or whatever. They probably thought he was out of breath. He sat on the bench, and all of a sudden he wasn't really responding. By the time Mark got there, he was breathing his last breaths. Probably had a massive heart attack, age 47. Gone. He just went to go play a rugby game. and now he is in eternity. I don't know where, if he knew God or not. I don't know. Who knows? Only you can make that decision this morning. Nobody else can make it for you. You have to make it yourself. Amen? So let's pray together. Father, this morning, let's pray that prayer together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. Come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And help me in the journey to follow after you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you find me after church today? And just let me know so we can help you on that journey. And Father, this morning I pray, just as we have these seeds in front of us or maybe in our hand, Father, it's a reminder that we're all sowers in your kingdom. You've called us to broadcast the good news of Jesus to our friends, to co-workers, to fellow students. And sometimes there's resistance, and sometimes we perceive that there will be resistance, Lord, but we never know that even in, sometimes in the most hostile situations, there might be a heart that is open, that is looking, that is searching, that is receptive. Lord God, you haven't called us to evaluate whether that person is ready or not. You've called us to share the good news with those that we come in contact with, to let the light of Christ shine in our life. And sometimes, Lord, it's not even only through our words, it's through our actions, through how we live our life that even speaks louder to the world around us. There are some people that are put their faith in Christ just because they've been watching our life from a distance. And they say, I want what they have. Lord, help us to live such a life that brings you glory, that honors you in all that we do. And so, Lord God, as we sing this closing song, speak to us, challenge us, Lord God. Give us the passion to be a sower for you. We give you the thanks, dear God. Hallelujah. I just want to lead us in a prayer for loved ones. I just sense that maybe that's maybe weighing heavy on some people this morning, that you've placed seeds in loved ones, whether it's a child, whether it's parents, maybe a friend. You've planted seeds there and your heart's heavy because you've planted those seeds, you just haven't seen any life there yet. Maybe it's co-workers. So let's just pray together. Father, you know the seeds that we've planted in the lives of people, Lord God. And Lord God, we just pray for just a move of your Holy Spirit upon our area, Lord God, around Crete and this whole surrounding area of Nebraska, from Lincoln down to Wilbur, down to Beatrice, to Friend, Dorchester, Lord God, to Norris area school district. Father, Sprague, we just pray for a move of your Holy Spirit. Father, we ultimately know that it is your Holy Spirit that prepares the hearts of people to receive. And so, Lord God, we pray for a move of your Holy Spirit. And Lord God, in lives that we've planted those seeds, Lord God, we just, that our heart is heavy, Father, we just pray that be working in supernatural ways to bring them closer to you, make their heart open. Allow those seeds to germinate and take root and to grow. Father, we just give you the thanks. We give you the praise this morning. Lord God, and as we sow, Lord God, even sometimes with tears, Lord God, may we not become weary. May we not become weary, but rejoice in what you are doing. We give you the thanks. We give you the praise, dear God, and we ask it in your precious and your holy name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Love on each other this morning. Shake hands and say, God's called you to be a sower, all right?